is someone who really started out his journey with this apologetics line of thinking. And he went down that road because it's the way his mind works. And people come to faith, John, for all different reasons. They might come just right through the front door because they saw a sign, or their parents brought them, or whatever, a friend brought them, or a bad circumstance brought them to faith, and they found something, maybe they can explain it or not. Some people come to faith through apologetics, which is kind of like digging in the dirt and then coming through and breaking a wall out. I kind of see like the movie Tremors. You remember that movie where they break through the wall?
Great movie.
It's kind of like that. But I think that for some people, there needs to be scientific, there needs to be logical, reasonable explanations for the existence of God and the church. And so, John, if we're sitting down at lunch and I want to know, you know, how can I know God is real? How can I know God? Because that was the question that was asked. So, John, how do you go about that? How do you start someone down that pathway?
So I think, first of all, I think that everybody who has that question needs to know that that's a really important and good question to ask. Because, you know, when you talk about Christian faith, you know, what we're doing is, or what we're asking is that we not just believe that God exists, but that we give our entire lives to this God. And so whether or not he exists is a very good starting point into whether or not we're going to actually give our entire lives to God, right? So it's a really good question. It's a really good thing to go down, I think, if you need to, if that's something that you're wondering. One of the things that's important that I learned that was helpful is that the purpose of apologetics, the rational defense of the faith, is not necessarily to prove that God exists in the same way that you would do a mathematical proof, or in the same way that you would do test tube science, where you're proving what something is through some sort of formula. Apologetics is this study that actually the purpose of it is to show you that what you believe is reasonable. That what are we doing here? Is this blind faith, or does it make sense? Apologetics is the study of why it makes sense to believe what you believe. You know, a good illustration would be that I came out here, and whether consciously or subconsciously, I evaluated this chair, and I sat down in it because I was pretty sure that it was going to support me, and I wasn't going to be injured, and I wasn't going to be embarrassed in front of people because it broke on stage. And so I sat down in it. Now, if I would have walked out here and the chair was sawn in half, and two of the legs were missing, and it was on fire, but I sat down in it anyways because of faith.
I would have sat down in it because I'm a sacrificial leader. And made you sit in the other
Maybe.
One.
But that would be a stupid thing to do. Because we're rational beings, we have rational faculties, and we're able to evaluate the world and make decisions based on information and processing that information. And so I think that faith is no different. You know, it's reasonable for us to ask, is it reasonable, rational, and consistent and logical for us to believe that God exists? And my journey through those questions led me to believe that it is.
Yeah, right.
That
so
it absolutely
so
is.
The questions that are asked. So when you start to move down that pathway, there's some questions that everyone's asking. Talk to them about the window of questions and worldview and all that.
Right. Okay. So it's good to start off with the fact that everybody who exists in the world exists with a worldview. And a worldview is just what you believe about the world. And it influences and actually grounds the way that you behave in the world and the way that you interface with that world. So, for example, you go to work and you make money because you think and you believe that that's one of the best ways that you can help your family and kids flourish in this economy, in this reality. Or you treat your kids and wife a certain way because you believe something about them. You actually believe something. Whether you can articulate how you got there and the systems that lead there or not, you still believe something and you behave accordingly. And so everybody has that. In one way or another, everybody's walking around with a belief system that founds the way that they interact with the world. And so belief in God or Christianity or whatever, different religions, these are different worldviews. And so I think it's really important that we understand, is that worldview that we're operating in reasonable? Is it rational? Is it logical? And so that's what apologetics does. Now, the questions I think that worldviews are supposed to answer are the questions that are like the longings of your soul. Like, why are we here? And so if you think about, I've heard it broken down four ways.
Like when you say, we have a worldview, and then naturally every person wants to know these things. They want to know that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, yes. And so though I've heard it broken down into four categories, which is like origin. So like, where did we come from? How did we get here? Meaning, why are we here? Is it random? Does it matter? Morality, is there a right and wrong way objectively to behave in this world and interact in this world? And then destiny, where are we going? Where are we going? I think that worldview that makes sense, that's rational, has to answer those four questions. And I think personally that the worldview I've come to in the Christian faith, in that God, and in the Savior, Jesus Christ, it does answer those questions rationally and logically.
So let's see. Let's go through those questions. So talk to us a little bit about origins. We're all asking, where did I come from? What's a good, reasonable explanation for origin?
Yeah, so origins is a good one to start with because a lot of people think that science and faith are opposed to each other. So it's like we learn all these beautiful things about the world and how we got here and what everything is and the physical material place that we live, and we think it's bad. We think it somehow that undermines the scriptures or that undermines our belief in God or whatever, and I think that that's totally off base. I think we're approaching the question in a wrong way. And one of the things that the question of origin helps to reorient us to is that if you assume that the Big Bang cosmology, which I think is a fine thing to think of, and you start to ask yourself, where did all of these things come from? There's this principle called infinite regress, which means at some point you're not going to be able to go back any further because you have to explain how something came from nothing. So you can explain that humans came from this process in this world with this matter, with these forces. Where did those come from? It came from this type of event. Where did that come from? It came from, you know, this ball of energy that was condensed and exploded. Okay, where did that come from? And at some point, you have to answer the question, how did something come from nothing? And as Christians, we believe that there's a being who is uncreated that created everything. And so our answer, it doesn't mean it's true. It means that it's logical.
Right.
It means it's consistent. And one of the interesting things, and the reason this is such a conundrum for the scientific world, is because science deals specifically with things that are observable and testable and repeatable. And if you think about creating something from nothing, you can never do that because there will never be nothing because there's something. And if it was nothing, then it'd be nothing. But it's not nothing, it's something. So how can you recreate something from nothing? And so again, like that does not mean that my worldview is right. It doesn't mean that my worldview is correct. It means that it's logical and it's consistent.
It's a process that you go through, right? So there's a beginning, there's an origin, and non-faith explanations or revelations or ideas, they give other decent, they have answers. They have their answers.
Yep, yep.
But then the faith one is a reasonable one, like the chair. That's a reasonable answer.
Yes,
so, hey, that's a test that stands outside of faith. That's science. Science says you can't have something come from nothing unless you're Dave McCreary. That's the only person that can do that. And then you can say, okay, well then maybe this answers that for faith.
Right.
So what's that? What, let's see. So origins.
I think morality is the other good one.
Yep.
It's, you know, the idea that there's something objectively, there's an objective right way to do things in this world, and there's an objective wrong way. So there's right and there's wrong, and it's not subjective, it's not up to you, it's something that exists and it's law. And I think that most people would agree that that's true. Now, there's nuance to that. So across cultures, some things are considered wrong, some things are considered fine, and some of that stuff is very subjective. But there are certain things that across history, across time, across this world, across cultures, that I think everybody would say is objectively wrong or objectively right. And, you know, for example, you know, this is crass, like throwing a baby off a cliff. I think everybody would say that that's wrong. I think that everybody across cultures, whether you believe in God, don't believe in God, I mean, people think that that is wrong to do. And so the question is why? Why is that wrong to do?
Because you don't sit in a room and learn and go, oh, well, the teacher said that's wrong, that must be wrong. It's something, it's something that's going on all over the world for all of time.
Yeah, and a worldview is supposed to explain, you know, why you come to those conclusions and how you got there. So the Christian worldview has a very rational explanation for something like that, which is that humans are beings created in the image of God. We have intrinsic value. We are his representations and his representatives in his good world. And so anything that we do to injure each other, especially the loss of life, is the biggest tragedy that could possibly occur according to the story that the scriptures tell us. So that's reasonable. It's written into our hearts. That's who we are. You should not do those things. And so I think that, you know, people who don't believe in God, they would agree that you shouldn't do that. Just the question that that worldview has to wrestle through is why. And one of the things that they will typically come to is the idea that it's, you know, you don't kill babies because there's something written into us evolutionarily that will tell you that we have to have this species survive, so we protect our babies at all cost. And that's a very logical and reasonable response from the basis of logical consistency. But the question is that satisfying to your experience in this world? It's not just about whether or not it makes sense. It's about, is that the way that you've experienced this world? As a parent, do you think that the reason you love your child and care for them and protect them at all costs is for the perpetuation of the human species? I think most people would say, of course not. I love them, and that's something that's meaningful and deep. And so it's just one of those things where, okay, then you start to get into the weeds of okay, so why? You know, is that satisfying, not just to logic, but to your experience? And I think that Christianity is beautiful because it answers both of those questions with such clarity and logic and coherence and consistency.
There's a lawgiver. Like, that's the conclusion, right? Like, that there's some consistent, this is right and wrong, and it finds itself out in all people groups all over the world. They agree on something that you go, there has to be a reason this happened. It could just be DNA, but that doesn't quite answer the fullness of the question. God brings in love and companionship and brotherhood and all these other pieces that help answer that question. So you have the moral law, which kind of says lawgiver. Talk about intelligent design is one of the answers to this.
So if you think about the way that you interact with the world, when you see intelligibility, you assume intelligence is behind it all the time. So an example that Joel has talked about before is if you went to the moon and there was a bunch of rocks that are piled up, you could assume that was random, right? Because natural processes and atmospheric events cause these rocks and they pile up, whatever. But if the rocks said, "Hello, Joel, we are glad you're here."
That actually happened when I went to Mars.
You would assume that there's some sort of intelligence behind that, right? I mean, it would almost be illogical for you to assume that that was something that was random. And so I think that the Christian worldview is assuming a very similar thing about this world that we live in. We have a world that's very, very finely tuned to life, where if it was just slightly higher, slightly lower, these different cosmic forces that create this universe, you know, life chemistry on Earth would not be able to happen. We walk around, we interact with each other, we have love, we have emotion, we have all of these things that there's so much intelligibility behind what we're doing and how we're here, that I think that to assume that there is an intelligence behind that, a God who created that and wrote that and spoke that into the world, is anything but illogical or inconsistent or ridiculous or blind faith. I think it's consistent with every other way in which we look at intelligibility and say, yeah, I think that there's intelligence behind that.
So the Christian worldview has a very reasonable answer for origins. It has a very reasonable answer for moral law and intelligent design. Mm-hmm. Take us down to the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So all of this kind of brings us through to now we have a human being that calls himself the answer to all those questions. How do you connect those dots?
Yeah, so this is actually where apologetics is most fun, because it's not just about the existence of God. The Christian faith is about an event. It's about a historical event. It's about a historical person, a historical life, a historical death, and then a historical resurrection, and then a historical movement. And so, there's not a lot of other religions that are grounded in history. And one of the things about the Christian faith is that when you study it, it is the most studied thing in the history of the modern world. The most studied thing. That event, whether it happened, how it happened, what it looked like, how the result of a expanding church of a radical movement happen? Like, that is all very, very well studied and detailed and looked at. And so, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me is that amongst, like, scholarly academic debates, nobody disputes the existence of Jesus. Nobody disputes the existence, or at least the broad story of the Jewish people that led to Jesus. Nobody disputes those things. Nobody disputes that he was a rabbi who called himself the Messiah. Nobody disputes that he was killed by the Roman government. Nobody disputes that his disciples and his followers created a movement based on the idea that he rose from the dead and the tomb was empty. All of that is essentially, you know, written with
verified.
As much verification as any other event in the ancient world into fact. That's what happened. And so a lot of the questions that I think we wrestle with are questions that actually the basis of them has been very well documented and very well answered. And so this is important to me because I think it's grounded in history. It is absolutely reasonable to believe. And then there are deeper questions that we all have to wrestle with in our faith. Like, is Jesus who he said he was?
Right.
Was he God in the flesh? Am I in Christ now and therefore participating in the kingdom of God? These are theological questions. These are philosophical questions. And those are the questions that we as the church should all be wrestling with. So if you have struggles with some of this apologetic stuff, existence of God, historicity of Jesus, that's all good. I want you to go down that road. I want you to think about that, study that. But I also want you to understand that those are stumbling blocks. Apologetics helps get those stumbling blocks out of the way. There's still a lot of work to do in terms of what is it that we actually now believe and what is our allegiance to this God that we have claimed is reasonable to believe in.
So historical Jesus, death, you know, buried, resurrected, church starts, huge movement, 2,000 years later, this man, documented by these authors and eyewitnesses, said, you know, that he is the I am, that he created the world. So you tie Jesus to the broader pieces, and that's where this all comes together. You have to ask yourself, the C.S. Lewis line of thinking, liar, lunatic, or Lord, it's one of those three, right? It's like, man, if this is reasonable and Jesus says that he is that reasonable thing, then I've got to look at Jesus and go, okay, I got to make a decision with him. The way I like to take when I'm, you know, sitting with someone about a Paul, once you get to historical Jesus, you have to wrestle with who he really is. You know, you can't throw out Jesus. You have to make a decision, liar, lunatic, Lord, he's a crazy man, it doesn't make sense, or he really is who he says he is. And that's when we talk about faith, right? That's what this is all about. We're not asking people to place their faith in some illogical, unreasonable idea of the existence of God. That makes a lot of sense. That's a chair worth sitting on, God existing. We're asking people to place their faith in Jesus's connection to that and then to follow him. So when we talk about faith in the church, that's what we're talking about.
Yes. Yes. And I think the reason that these types of questions, because we got a lot of questions like this, which is great. And the reason, you know, that it's important is because of the implications of it. You know, if it's true, then it's our life. If it's not true, it doesn't matter at all. It's not even a good philosophy to think about. To love your enemies, it's just a really good way to die. So is it true is important because then you move into getting to know this God. You know, that's what the Christian faith promises us. And to me, it was really hard for the scriptures to ever come alive for me when I wasn't quite sure if it was reasonable and rational to believe that this claimed God even existed.
Talk about the thing the Bible doesn't claim.
Right. Yeah, if you read the Bible, you just won't ever really find anybody in the scriptures doing apologetics. They're like assuming that God exists. You know, that's the Bible's not that interested in proving the existence of God. The Bible's interested in showing you who he is. It's his revelation of himself. And so in order for that book to have the amazing transformative power that it has, I think that some of these questions are important for us to answer. Because once you get those out of the way, you say, it is reasonable to believe in God. It is reasonable to have my faith my worldview based in this kind of being who created this kind of world. And then the story of the Bible makes sense for it to culminate in Jesus. Then you start to look at the scriptures and it just comes alive.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those stumbling blocks are out of the way and you start to get to know this God. And that's when transformation happens and that's when life change happens. So that's one of the reasons I'm passionate about this subject and why it's important for us to ask.
For someone that's really wrestling with the existence of God, they have a worldview. They need to answer these questions, the origin of God, morality, where does that come from? What were the other two? Those are the two we kind of talked about.
Meaning and destiny.
Like why,
yeah.
What's the purpose, and then where are we going? So if you're taking notes, those four things kind of are how you're supposed to fill in the holes for your worldview. And you'll start to see that kind of inches you closer and closer to Jesus being connected to those reasonable answers. I think we have to go, but guys, give it up for John. Do you have one more thing you want to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the thing, the biggest takeaway for me from my dive into this as a young Christian was that, you know, we don't have to be intellectually embarrassed to be Christians, to have faith in God. I mean, I think that some of the things we're talking about actually seems maybe more reasonable for us and the naturalistic side that claims no spirituality or creator or anything like that has a lot of work to do to catch up. And so, look, apologetics is not a weapon. It's not something that we wield against people who believe different things, and it should never be used that way. It's something for us as a community to understand that what we're worshiping and how we come together and what we're doing here is reasonable and logical, yeah. And
it
makes sense.
I think of it like, you know, technology is growing dramatically, right? Like we have the 5K TV now and we have the wall. And technology, as it advances, is continuing to say, origin coming from God, creator, that's reasonable. So as we learn more, as we dig deeper, as science continues to do what it does, it doesn't finally get, oh, well, now this faith thing, now this God, you know, creator God thing is going away. It just enhances it. It makes it full color. So go down that path. Everybody needs to.
And that step we're going to talk about next week, because a lot of that has to do with how you approach the Bible.
Yeah.
And what you think the Bible is and what questions you think the Bible is supposed to answer for you.
We're going
to
talk about that next week. So we're doing questions. We're answering as many as we can. We're going to talk about what is the Bible. Next week, we're going to unpack a little bit of heaven and a little bit of hell. It's going to be one hell of a week. And we're going to, what else are we going to do? We're going to talk about evil. So you guys should come back for that. Those were some of the major questions that were asked with regard to, you know, scriptures. And so we're excited to do that. We have meet today. If you are visiting and you want to know the staff, you want to meet someone, we're all back there. We want to get to know you if you want to know how to get involved, if you have questions. And we're also going to do something right now, right? We're passing the buckets. I think we're supposed to pass the buckets. If you would, just stay in your chairs.
We need the clickers.
We need these clickers.
They're
find
very
your
expensive.
Clicker, pick it up in the air. Make sure you find other ones if there's an extra chair. Put them all away before you start to stack the chairs as we leave here today. So try to get all the clickers in a bucket or find a bucket before you leave. If you're new, go meet someone at the black curtains back there. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you guys.
Thanks.